The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things.
Continue our thoughts this month on different aspects of worship to God. My particular topic is on giving. And you might suppose that my focus would be on the collection, which we observe each Lord's Day, but it is not. Very little is written about the giving of money as an expression of worship in the New Testament. And probably any verses that I might read to you this morning will unlikely change your attitude or the amount you put into the collection plate. But the amount that you put into the collection plate will be the right amount when your heart is right. So this morning, I wanted to focus more on the heart of giving. I took some medication this morning before I came, so that I could come. So if sometimes it doesn't sound quite right, I am not speaking in tongues. It's just my tongue is a little thicker than I would like for it to be. So are we going to talk about giving to God, or about giving to others as a way of expressing worship to God? And the answer is yes. Matthew 10:42, there he's talking about giving service to people, and he says, if you give a cup of water to one of my followers, you'll be rewarded. And we go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I would like to read that. It's a common, a familiar one to all of you. Matthew 25, and let's look at verses 34 through 45. There he's talking about the judgment. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will say also to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, and to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. So this morning we're going to look at three ways that we can give to God, and in doing so, express a righteous worship to Him. The first thing that I'd like for us to look at is the giving of things, the tangible items of value. Secondly, I'd like for us to look at giving time, a measurable portion of our lifespan while we're in the flesh. And the third thing is to give of our intellect, our ability to think, to reason, and to express our thoughts in a righteous way. The first, let's begin with the things that we might give to God. Does God need any things from us? Zach read Acts 17, 24, 25. God who made the world and all the things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything. Since He Himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things. So if it all belongs to God, to start, and He doesn't need anything we might have, how can we give anything to God as a worthwhile expression of worship? It seems kind of circular. Well, you give me everything, so I give you some back even if you don't need it, but you give me some more. And so what's the point? How can we give anything to God as a worthwhile expression of worship? And if we remember back to that passage in Matthew 25, where He said, if you give it to one of these, one of the least of these, then you've given it to Me. And there is the benefit. Let's read Luke 14, verses 12 through 14. Luke 14, 12 through 14. And He also went on to say to the one who had invited Him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So there's the connection. We who can never give to God anything to balance out all of the blessings that He gives us, He wants us to give to those who could never, in the same way, repay us. And in doing that, we acknowledge that it's all God's to start with, and that we don't deserve, we don't earn any of the things which we possess. And then it makes sense. Isaiah 1 and 1 paraphrase, he says, what makes you think I want your sacrifices? I'm tired of your sacrifices. You sacrifice. I'm tired of those. But I thought He had asked for that. I thought He wanted them to give Him sacrifice. And He had. He had commanded that. You know, Hosea 6 and 6 says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than offering. So they were going through the process of giving to God, but not with the right heart. And He says, if you're going to give to Me, do it with the knowledge of God. The knowledge that all that you have comes from Me. do it with the right heart. At one point in their history, he really gets upset with them because they were giving credit to all of the false gods, the idolatry gods that they were worshiping, for all of their success. And he said, you don't get it. It's all from me, not from the graven images and stuff like that. And he wanted them to acknowledge who he was and the power that he had and the impact that he had on their lives. The question I put down, can that be us today? When the collection plate is passed by and we put in our 2%, our 5%, our 10%, or whatever we feel justified in giving, we feel justified because we're giving to God some of our hard-earned money. And we forget that were it not for God, we wouldn't have any resources to give him. So yes, we can be guilty of the same thing they were even today, even in the material vision, if we do not do it with the right heart and the right attitude, acknowledging that all that we have comes from. The second thing that I want to talk about is the giving to God of our time. It's only when we come to an understanding that of all of the elements of this life, it is time that is most elusive. Perhaps it is difficult to understand and to explain, because we are spiritual beings that are temporarily housed in a temporal, fleshly body. I'll say that again. One reason why we have such a hard time even grasping time might be, and I'm not sure, but might be, because we are actually spiritual that are temporarily stuck in these fleshly bodies. And so it doesn't make sense trying to figure out time. It seems long, something seems short. It's hard to figure out. And so long as we think of ourselves as carnal beings, we'll want to spend our time doing carnal things. But if we allow ourselves to see ourselves as spiritual beings, then perhaps we'll be much more content to spend our time doing spiritual things for God. James 1:27 says, pure religion, and in some places that word is worship. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to remain unspotted from the world. I don't have time to go visit the widows and the orphans. I'm too busy. Busy doing what? Carnal things. It's how we fill our time while we're waiting to be spiritual beings again. James says, what is life but a vapor? Here for a moment and then it's gone. Goes on and says, some of you say, well, tomorrow we're going to such and such a city. We'll start a business there and we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll make so much profit and all that, and then we'll expand our, you know, business opportunities. He said, that's foolish talk. Because you don't know. You don't have that control over the time that you should say, if the Lord wills. This is what we do. So the question is, what do you do with the time that you have while you're waiting to move on and to be with the Lord? I was talking with with Jerry last night when I was putting this together, and sometimes he'll say, you know, supper will be ready, and so on, whatever. And well, what are you doing? Well, I'm watering the cows. Well, it doesn't sound like you're watering the cows. It sounds like you're running the lawnmower. Well, I am, but I'm cutting grass while I'm waiting on the tank to fill it. What are you doing? Oh, I'll tell you, cell phones, guys, you know, they stay in touch with you. Well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm picking blackberries. You're picking blackberries. Well, I'm picking blackberries while I'm waiting on the tanks to fill up with water. And all of the different things that I do while I'm waiting on, because of the hundreds of gallons of water a day to water the cow, while I'm waiting, I do something else. While we're waiting to go to be with God, what are we going to spend our time doing? Is it going to be carnal things, or is it going to be spiritual things? And once we understand we're putting in time and that we are spiritual beings, it is easier, I think, for us to allocate time for righteous, for godly things. How do we acknowledge to God that we understand that whatever time we have is at His discretion, and then allocate that time for His cause? Your very presence here this morning at this early portion of the Lord's Day worship is an indication that you have chosen to give part of that time to His glory, while others have chosen to do other things at the same time. And your choice is to be committed. Back when I was dealing with the knee and didn't come. And it is so, I don't want to say easy. It is so, I'm not sure what the word is. But I understand why people who don't come can get very comfortable in not coming. I worked 5 hard days, and then yesterday was a hard day just trying to get cash called up. I need a day off, you know, and not have time for God. The third thing, the means of giving to God that I'd like to briefly talk about, is giving to Him of our mental capacity, our intellect, our ability to meditate on His Word and to put that into practice. To give of our abilities, our speaking abilities, singing, writing, conversation, whatever. To give of our emotions, of our knowledge and experience. To give of our wisdom from our experience. You've got the ability to help someone, and you know how to help someone, and you don't. Back in Deuteronomy was loaded with verses about God's expectation for His people to be generous to others, to acknowledge all the blessings that they get from Him. And what I'm talking about, if somebody comes to you and asks for something, don't keep your fist tight. Don't take only your whatever it is that they need tight. Open your hands and share. Whatever we are able to do intellectually, we need to do that. Older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. That'd be a chore. I wouldn't be able to do that. You know. But some of you have the experience. Some of you have the knowledge. Some of you have the ability to do that. And we need to do that. Lots and lots and lots. And I'm going to have to summarize. If you wait until you think you have enough things before you give to God by giving to others, you'll never have enough things. And if you wait until you think that you can spare a little time for God and others, you'll never have enough time. And if you wait until you have know everything about everything before you share your knowledge, you'll never share with others the good news about Jesus Christ. And our challenge this morning, each and every day, I think it's when we wake up in the morning, we pray to God to say, how can we express to you our gratitude for life itself and for all of the many wonderful blessings that we have? How can we share that? How can we give of that to bring glory to God's name? This time we'll ask Brother Justin to lead us in our dismissal prayer.